Okay. Welcome back to the Boys of 161st Street. I think this is episode 53 or 54. Well, either one. Doesn't matter. We got baseball in a week. We got DJ finding the cure and giving it to all of his friends. We got Chapman possibly looking healthy, working out his Instagram story. He's one of the friends. Sessa's coming back. Stanton Judge are crushing baseballs. And Garrett Cole likes striking people out. Let's get to it.
This is 161st Street.
All right. So, how we feeling, boys?
We got baseball season.
We got baseball in a week. How we feeling?
I'm nervous, excited. I'm in a clusterfuck of my head, but I'm excited.
I'm stoked. A few episodes ago, or maybe the last episode, I don't know, it feels like it's been a while. We were talking about how I'd started to get into watching golf, and I was like, I'm kind of watching it. I got into it a lot, and I enjoyed watching it, but I'm kind of ready to start watching baseball again. Like, I did, but I didn't. It's such an easy thing to watch casually, and it's fun to watch casually, but
I think these inner squads have kind of fucked me up a little bit, because it's like you watch them and they seem like they're so early on in spring training. Yeah. And you get it in your head. It's just like, all right, baseball's probably in 2 more months. And then you see them in an inner squad game and they're like, all right, baseball's in a week. And I'm just like, wait, what?
Yeah, it all happens so fast. You don't have any time to get used to it at all. It all happens so fast. And
I'm really curious. Oh, my bad. I'm just curious how the intensity is going to go, because it's no fans, but the 60-game thing, like, I don't know how that's going to balance how engaged I'm going to be watching it. Like, in theory, if they played a 60-game season under normal circumstances with fans in the crowd, I'm going to be dialed in like I'm watching an NFL game every single game. But without fans, I'm curious how much that's going to draw back, and, like, I don't know.
They have decided they're doing the crowd noise thing, which, however you – if you like that, you don't. I think, the Yankees said they were going to do it. I don't really mind it. I say, fuck it, go ahead. I mean, as long as it sounds decent. One thing I did see that was funny with the crowd noise wasn't with the Yankees. It was with the Brewers, and they, like, booed Yelich while he was up, and then you heard him mouth, it feels like I'm at Wrigley. Like, what am I, Wrigley or something? Because they were just booing him. But the one thing I don't really like about the whole – I mean, this also could be just them testing things out, but – what I've noticed, and everybody's noticed, is the camera angle. I really hope they figure that shit out, because that's really fucking annoying if it's not. Like, if you deviate anything from a regular baseball game, just the way it feels, just, and obviously the presentation of that is a huge factor, then it doesn't feel real to me. Like, that's why I know it's summer camp, and they're probably going to fix it and make it just behind the mound view. But if you change anything, and obviously fans are already being changed, there's so much being changed in 60 games, there's the extra inning rule, all those things that we can't really avoid, and those are the rules for this year. And then on top of that, a simple avoidable thing is the camera angle. Just fix the fucking camera angle. That's how I feel.
I mean, that has to be just like a interim inner squad thing. There's no way they're going to actually go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
It's not like the technology has just gotten like 10 years behind. Now suddenly they're all fucking camera in center field. Right. Like, they have it out there.
Well, that's not it. I think they're like just experimenting a lot. I don't think technology's worse off, because I mean they have the catcher GoPro angle, which is cool. I like that. But I don't like watching a game that's not from that one view. That view is the money shot. I guess
it's just saying, like, it looks like they haven't figured it out yet. It looks like they're just kind of like, don't know what to do. It's like, I want to do it with my hands. I'm just going to see whatever camera.
Yeah, I mean, they've had all this time in the world. They knew eventually if we were going to get fans back, it was going to be over Zoom, and these guys were announcing remotely, which some of them don't even sound good. What I've noticed is Jack Curry – and the other guy. Well, who's the other guy? I forgot his name.
Singleton?
Yeah, Jack Curry and I think Singleton. They sound fantastic because they're in studio when they're doing it. But
not Singleton. It's Bob. Whatever, Bob something.
I forgot his name. Whatever, Jack Curry and Co.
Yeah.
And his partner in crime. They sound fantastic because they're in the studio. So I guess they're like the actual ones recording. So that's their sound, and they're importing sound from other places. So when Ruko went on, when David Cohn went on, when Kay went on, they all kind of sounded like shit. They sounded like they were on a Zoom meeting, which they are. But I don't know. Either they have bad Wi-Fis, they got to get the LAN cable plugged in. Someone, they just got to figure that out. It seems to me like you've had all this time in the world to figure it out, and you still have some kinks to work out. It just, yeah, those little, the little things are going to really make me feel like it's not a real season. You know what I mean?
It's summer camp for them too. Maybe they'll figure it out by then.
Yeah. I hope so. They probably will, but
the fan noises thing. I don't know if I'm a huge fan. I feel like if they, I kept thinking about this, like, you guys remember like MVP baseball 2005 at all?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you were playing like those like home run derbies with like the tractor trailers in the background.
Yeah.
They had the soft the music playing. Yeah. I kept thinking about that, 'cause I kept hearing like the ball hit and then it hitting the stands. So ultimately I just like went back nostalgic to that game. And I was like, it's really going to be like, they could just put some like casual tunes on like Tessie. It's hitting bombs, and you're trying to hear the ball hit the outfield like a truck.
They should just get the MVP baseball soundtrack, play that.
I'd be so down with that. Instead of just like fake fan noise, just put like a nice, like all the soundtracks from like 2005 baseball games and on, like just put it on repeat.
I kind of do like the fan noise, because if you don't have fan noise and you've noticed it too, the announcers sound so much more awkward. Like those awkward conversations that are awkward even with crowd noise, like when they're talking about, like, I don't know, their kid and the everything, just nonsense, those conversations aren't as awkward because there's screaming fans around, there's a game happening, it's broken up by like loud noises, whatever. When they're dead silent, it's even more cringy. So I hope that either have more like entertaining conversations, or they just pump some crowd noise in there. Cause I don't know.
Well, you know what it sounds like? It sounds like, have you ever seen the videos on Twitter of sitcoms when they take the laugh track out, like Seinfeld or Friends or whatever? Like that's what it kind of sounds like a little bit. Cause you're expecting that noise to be there as a filler and it's not.
That's one of the most annoying things ever. Like when I, to me, like I actually just thought about this the other day. It's funny you brought that up, because I was watching, I forget what sitcom, but I've been used to just watching Netflix shows, which don't have that obviously. And I randomly watched a sitcom and I heard the laughing and I was like, that is so fucking annoying, because I haven't heard it in so long. And then you get your mind set on it and you just hear it every single time they have a like remotely like good joke. They'd have like even bad jokes. Some guy said he was like leaving the room and they're like, ha, ha. I was like, shut the fuck up.
They're like staging the laughter.
It's so annoying.
It's going to be weird though, because there's not going to be anyone in the stands. So
that's the thing.
That's why I feel like, you know, like your vision to like looking at it and the hearing, it's going to be all fucked up. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Anyway.
So I thought about this today and I was like, well, the 60 game season, if you translated that to any other sport, just like for a frame of reference on how small the 60 game season is, because I was talking to a friend who doesn't know baseball that well earlier today. And he was like, well, it's how many games is it usually, like 110, 120? I was like, no, it's 160. So it's like 30% of the season. I think it's like 37% of the games. And if you translate that to the NFL, that is a 6-game schedule. And for hockey and the NBA, that's a 30-game schedule. Just like when it comes into that frame of reference, especially football, because it's already such a small schedule and so intense. So essentially we should be watching with the same intensity, and like that much more is riding on the game as if it was a six-game
NFL season. That's
which
insane.
Is crazy.
Dude, I'll tell you, looking at the schedule, like as a visual of the months with the games,
it looks
small. That's when it really hit. Yeah, that's when it hit me. I was like, holy shit, it's like only that long. like forget numbers. Like looking at it in a visual, I'm like, that's that long. Like that's about this big.
When I printed out the 162, and that made 162 look a lot smaller, because it's over like, it's only like 6 months or whatever. That one, like, and it's 2 full months, but it's one of them is like nearly done because you're starting the 23rd. So it's just like the last week or so. It's so little. It's crazy. It's going to be such a crapshoot. And we're going to be playing every single game. Is going to be so intense for us. Like, honestly, a lot of, I hate to be the bearer of bad news for Yankee fans right now, but like we're not a shoo-in to make the playoffs by any stretch of the imagination, because we have we have the hardest strength of schedule by a pretty large margin, or the whole East as a whole does. And I mean, there's just a lot of good teams. It's just, and it's the Rays are really good. They could win the division. I mean, if you look at, if you look back last year where we were at the point at the 60 game mark, that we were only a game up on the Rays. Granted, we were hurt and whatever, and we're better this year. We have Cole and we're allegedly healthy for now. But if we don't win the division, you got to win an at-large bid against good teams like the Athletics. You got to win against, like, other, I don't know. It's just, you don't know who's going to be in that mix. Maybe the White Sox, who knows? Teams like that, like the White Sox and the lesser value teams, maybe the Angels get a crack at it. But those teams are all going to be right around the mix. So, like, you have to win your division. That is so much more important. I know we talked about this all before, but it, I just keep thinking about it. And people keep, when we posted those standings before, and there were people that everyone was saying, like, oh, the Yankees will easily get 45 wins. Like, no, that's just not going to happen.
Especially, like you said, like, it, not only injuries, like the COVID thing, like, you never know. Like, if three or four guys are gone for 2 weeks because of COVID, that's a significant portion of the season. You're missing probably 12, 13 games. So, like, big deal. And that's just another thing that could go wrong.
I'm, like, I'm really curious to see, like, what the teams that ride on these long seasons kind of, like, what their outcome is. For instance, like, the A's, like, their whole, like, roster model is based on 162 games. And I'm just, like, maybe the Rays are like that too. I don't know. I'm just like, I'm the whole season's gonna be a crap shoot.
I'm worried. I'm worried about the Rays. Like,
I think too. The Rays are good.
If there's anybody that's just like equipped to cut, I feel like they're just really well equipped for a 60 game season. Like, they have a really good pitching staff. They have a serviceable bullpen, and then they have, you know, the same bats that they had last year. So, like,
granted, I agree, but we also have a very good rotation. We have we were ranked recently the number one bullpen, which I was not, I'm not shocked, but I know the Rays are usually right there with us, and they're like four, which is interesting. But
yeah,
we're very comparable to the Rays in the pitching aspect. Obviously, we have way better hitters than they do. But hitting is so streaky. So, and a lot of players on the Yankees are streaky, like Gary usually goes off in August, but what if that's just because he needs a couple months to get started, and then he ends up getting all going off, and by the time he gets started, it might be the playoffs, and I don't know. There's so many scenarios that are moving on in my head, because there's nothing that's normal anymore. So everything you thought you knew, just out the window, because everything strategy-wise is different now too. Everybody knows this. We've been talking about this for a while.
But it's funny, other just because we've started this way that every single time, and there's just more to say about it.
Because it's still
time.
Yeah, it's still going on in our head. Until we get the real thing, there's just so many new scenarios that we can just talk about. Like, what if this happens? What if Boone gets COVID? What happens when the managers get COVID? What do they remotely manage? What if, like, Matt Blake gets COVID? What happens then? Will Boone just be a TV in the dugout, and he'll be zooming in as the coach, or like if he gets COVID? I don't know.
I've seen those like computer screens and like the robots with wheels like rolling around.
Yeah, that'll be
Boone. I imagine like Boone going out for like either a mound visit or going to argue with the umpire, and you see this robot going out. And
you just imagine
to the screen.
Just imagine that whole like savages in the box thing, except Boone is a robot walking out there, and he's just doing that point. He's doing that point to the whatever Brennan, the umpire. That would be wild.
You see like different like memes pop up and like emojis and like on the screen. He's just like flushing these out.
Yeah, he just puts whatever on the screen he wants, just like a movie scene of somebody screaming at somebody or whatever.
My little one gives a fuck about the rules around here.
Am I the only one who gives a fuck? That is so applicable to any situation. Am I the only one who gives a fuck about the rules? What do you think actually will happen if he gets COVID? You think we go?
I think it's like anything else. Like,
he probably sends in the lineup. He probably sends in the lineup, and then the bench coach probably does the in-game stuff. He's probably speaking with Boone remotely. So that probably is what would happen.
You think he's in like an earpiece or something?
Or maybe they just have him in a bubble in the dugout. Like, they have a bubble designated.
I mean, they got plenty of space. He could fucking chill in behind the dugout in the bleachers with just like a bubble around him.
Yeah, he's just sitting up behind the plate.
Yeah,
he's calling pitches like the. He stands up and puts a sign between instead of the catcher.
Yeah, if I was them, I would probably do like hit Boone on a monitor and he just zooms in.
Like really funny.
Right, I don't know. Hopefully it doesn't happen.
That'd be so funny. It's just another thing that pops up in my head.
We could have done an episode a week for the past like 4 weeks with just all the scenarios that possibly could have happened.
What's going to happen though? Like every little thing that happens though, throughout this whole season, we're just going to overreact more and more and more. And then, yeah, it's going to be
a never-ending
cycle.
But it's rightly so, because it's only 60 games. Like Murph said, it would be equivalent to a 6-game NFL season, which is wild.
Every game is a series.
Every single game matters. And to those, like, we always like say to people, like, don't freak out if we lose one series or lose three in a row, whatever. Losing three in a row is an equivalent of a six-game
losing nine season. In a row.
It's losing like 15% of the fucking season. So, and that's crazy, because if you lose three, the other team, the Rays win three, you're down 6 games. That's a 6-game swing in the overall.
Especially, standard. Yeah, if you're losing to the Rays, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's going to be weird. We'll see.
So, scenarios aside, we did get some good news. Obviously, everybody knows about this by now, but DJ found the cure to Corona. We knew this was going to happen. If we could bet on this, if that was one of the, I'm sure you could bet on that somewhere. Like if DJ was going to get over Corona or he'd find the cure.
Well, he was asymptomatic anyway.
Yeah, but it was probably even.
Of course he was. If
just getting over, I mean, he wouldn't, the thing is with him, he would never get to the point where he was symptomatic because it could never do that to him.
You know? Well, yeah. No, like when the news came out that he and Sessa got it and they said DJ was asymptomatic, like the thought didn't even go in my head that he would develop symptoms. Like, I was like, all right, we're wrong with DJ. I was like, okay, see you in 2 weeks. Like that was my thought. I'm not moderately surprised that he's back next
DJ,
week.
DJ LeMay, he was like the DJ LeMay is like the Chuck Norris of like everything else.
How you know, so?
You know those sayings where it's like Chuck Norris doesn't do a push up; he pushes the earth down.
Oh yeah,
like you know, like those sayings. Like he's doing like
Chuck Norris's beard can beat you in arm wrestle. Like
yeah, like he'd be a perfect thing. Like you know. Chuck Norris didn't catch coronavirus. Coronavirus caught Chuck Norris. You know, like something stupid like that. He's like the Chuck Norris of everything, but in the baseball
DJ
world.
Yeah, DJ is Chuck Norris.
Doing roundhouse kicks. And...
Yeah,
I'm glad to have him back, though.
I mean,
I'm glad that he's back to start the season. That's the big thing.
Well, that's the thing. He's supposed to rejoin the team sometime next week. Him as well as Sessa, who has also beat COVID. So... DJ gave him the cure too. He helped out with the boys. Chapman, it was asymptomatic already, but he looks pretty good. I don't know if you can work out with COVID, but he's working out in his story, so he looks pretty damn good. So he's probably going to start the season on the COVID IL, and we've seen you can bounce back from COVID rather quickly. Some people obviously a little bit worse off if you get it worse, but he was also asymptomatic, so feel good about that. He just recently got it after DJ and after Sessa, so that's why he's gonna probably miss a little bit into the season. But
he gets a head start.
Yeah, in terms of all of them, starting with DJ, I'm gonna just go out on a limb and say he's probably not gonna be on the opening day roster. Probably shortly after that, he'll come back. That's just from the vibe I get from the article. So
he also needs at bats.
Yeah, that too.
Before.
Yeah, that's a whole other conversation I want to get to, but. If he doesn't start the opening day on the opening day roster, which he probably won't, who do you guys want to start at second base? Because obviously there's two options. There's Tyro Estrada, who's been raking, and Tyler Wade, who is the friend of the pod. This is the Tyler Wade fan club. So he may not be a friend of the pod yet. He doesn't know it yet, but he will be. Who do you guys have starting at second base if DJ can't make it?
I mean, it's one of those two. We could also
obviously.
Well, no, but you could also do something funky because we're trying to get Gio and Andujar in there. Like, I know Gio doesn't really play second, but he kind of does. Like, that's worst case. Like, if we really
made the argument to Damon about that.
Like, I'm just saying, like, it could happen. So
they have taken zero reps there. Zero.
Yeah, but Gio's got a good glove. Like I think he could play there, especially cool. If it's only for a couple games.
That was my thank you, Murph. I'm glad you're here now because last week Damon. Was so against that.
I'm still in. He's taking zero reps there.
Well, yeah, okay. It's just another option. I wouldn't be mad if they put out anybody really out of those three. But if they need the bats more, because Estrada's like he's come up the last couple of years. Like, he's played a little bit here and there. Wouldn't be mad to see him. Tyler Wade, I don't love his bat. I like him coming off the bench a little bit more, but we'll find a way. We have the depth for it, which is a good thing.
I think it's going to be Estrada, just because he's had a better, I guess, second spring training with these inter squad games. And you want to go with a guy who can, you know, at least is a little more predictable in terms of he's seen the ball a little better. So they're probably going to pick him over it, but I don't know. I don't think there's a huge, like, it's not going to be a huge factor in the lineup either way. Like, it's not like, you know, DJ LeMahieu is just, he's an all-star. He's like the team MVP. You know, you can't compare him to being like a reasonable replacement. I think that Estrada and Wade are both like mediocre players who are both going to be utility guys throughout the whole season. So not going to be a huge difference either way.
And what I feel we like before.
Especially for these first couple of games, I feel like Wade is even more valuable off the bench than Estrada right now.
Yeah, that was my thought process too, because Wade, with the whole runner on second rule, that screws him over so much. It's, I don't, like, know if we talked about there, that before.
Which kind of sucks, but.
But like him coming into the game, sometimes you might want to wait to bring, like, he might not play in the first nine innings of a lot of games strictly because you want to keep him as that pinch runner. I don't know how the rules work, but like it just seems like he gets kind of screwed by that.
Well, yeah, he does, but he doesn't, because that just kind of gives him another role to fill, I think. And yeah, he might not go in when he otherwise would have because of it, but it also just, you know, it's something that he can excel in at this point. And he's really, really good defensively, and he's really, really good at base running. So he's perfect for that, because if we don't score, then he can play nearly every position on the field that we might need him to in the following game for whoever he comes in for.
I'd be interested to see, like, if Wade does start, if, like, a Brett Garner doesn't for some reason, because you need that some sort of speed on the bench just in case. Like, I don't know if there's going to be a correlation between that at all.
Yeah, I don't know how, like, one affects the other in terms of, like, that rule. I don't know if some – I think if you – I could be just completely spewing nonsense, but I think if you are the pinch runner, you couldn't have played in the game. So you have to enter the game.
Yeah, it's like any other rule. So it's like the man on second is the last out of the previous inning, and it's just going to be a pinch runner.
Right.
So it's like, oh, that is what it is, right?
Yeah, you can't just throw anyone out there. It has to be the last runner, last person out.
Against the substitution
rule. Yeah.
So if Gary was the last one, and like we wanted to put Wade in, then Higashioka would probably have to come in for Wade to catch the following inning if we don't score.
Like double switch action.
Yeah. Like it's basically just, and you don't have to pinch run every time. Like if Judge is on second, Judge is the last out in the ninth inning, and we go into the tenth, like we're gonna leave him in there, obviously.
Yeah.
But if it's Mike Ford or Luke Voit, like, all right, probably going to take
some. Speaking of which, Luke Voit has – I know he lost weight, and he looks great. What, did he lose, like, 20 pounds or something?
Maybe he can run now.
Looks phenomenal, but he's been trying to run everything. He's been digging out – I don't know, it's summer camp, but he's just really testing out the new body. Like, he's just seeing, like, all right, how fast am I? Like, I've been running in the treadmill. He's got no tread on these tires now. He's a new man. And he's like, all right, maybe I'm a speedster now. I used to run with a refrigerator on my back. Maybe I can swipe a few bags here, take an extra bag on, like, go to
he's
third on a
trying
single.
To prove something.
He got hosed by Florial. I know Florial is a good arm, but he was out by 20 feet.
Too bad you can't run him over anymore.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm all for speed. I'm all for speed.
I mean, he can test it out now. Like, there's no problem doing that. So, I mean, at least he figured it out in summer camp that he still isn't fast. I wonder how much faster he got, or maybe he just feels faster.
Well, he just wants to know, like, what he can go on. He's trying to figure that out.
I feel like it's like when you get a buzz cut and you run with a buzz cut, you just feel the wind. There's no impact on his actual, like, output speed. It's just he feels faster. So he's just trying more now. Yeah,
he's like a swimmer who just shaved his whole body so he could glide faster in the water.
Yeah,
cuts through the air.
Back to the original question: if you had a gun to your head and you pick, obviously it's not a big impact because DJ's coming back soon after, but if I were to pick of those two, Wade and Tyro. I'm going to go with Tyro. Tyro is a guy that I feel like every time he's up, I talk about him all the time. He's like a he plays like Starlin Castro to me. He's got the same build. He hits, plays second base. I don't know. He just seems like a Starlin Castro to me, like a younger version of that. And I just feel like whenever he's in, I don't ever think in my head like, "Oh, he gets fuck."
Some job done.
It's
Ronald Torres. That's who he is.
Yeah. Like, I mean, but he's got pop though. Torres didn't really. Yeah, he's hit two home runs already. I don't know if it's a small sample size.
Yeah, I mean, he's not his player profile isn't, you know, has pops gonna hit bombs, but
right.
He's just, you know, he's seen the ball well, and that's why
man got shot.
Need to put him in.
He got shot.
Yeah, so
I mean, like, people forget that. He literally got shot.
he's just like he's just very serviceable. Like this is why he's on the roster for this. Like if DJ misses a few games, he's somebody that we can plug in there for a few games, and that's fine, and that's great.
Yeah.
So I'd take him. But if they are comfortable throwing Urshela there, obviously they know way more than we do. I'm not going to be mad if Urshela's playing second a couple games.
I'm also okay with that too. So majority vote.
I will bet dollars that he will never play.
Oh no! Like I'm not betting that he will.
I'm not betting he will either. I'm saying it's a valid option, and you don't think so.
All right.
I never said that. I just said it's never going to happen.
All right. Probably
either way.
I'd love to see him out there if he can play, but I'm done talking. This is the last episode.
Yeah, we're gonna agree to disagree. So Sessa and Chapman also. Sessa, obviously, I think he's on the same pace as DJ, but Chapman probably going to start the season on the IL, so he might miss a few games, week or two. I have no idea. I'm just talking out of my ass. But since he's going to be out, what do we think for him as an option? Like, who replaces him as the closer? We have obviously a lot of options. I'm not worried about it. Obviously, Chapman is reliever of the year, and he's had a fantastic season. He throws gas. He looks like he's been getting even bigger. He might throw harder now again. Who knows? But we got a lot of guys. If you guys think pick one, who is it?
I think Britton is a pretty good option just because he's – like when he was on the Orioles, he was a closer. He's been in that spot before. I think he's probably at least somewhat comfortable doing it. And if he were, for example, on a team that doesn't have as good of a bullpen as the Yankees, like he'd probably be a closer on probably 8 or 10 other teams in the league right now. So I think he's a pretty obvious option.
Yeah.
But I also wouldn't feel horrible if Canley maybe went in there. But like he also like just doesn't close. So
yeah, I think you gotta go with the guy that has experience doing that and also is versatile in the closing game of even just like more comfortable with both sides of the bat too. Like you're not gonna throw Ottavino out there because he's very just one sided towards righties, you know. You gotta throw someone out there who has one experience closing and two is comfortable pitching to both sides of the plate.
Yeah, I don't want Ottavino
and that's Britton for sure. And I think Ottavino will be a second, but not a close second.
I like Ottavino, and I think he's going to have a bounce back year, but I do not want him touching the mound in the ninth inning.
What do you mean a bounce back year?
I mean, in terms of where he left off on. He had a fantastic year in the regular season. Where he left off on a sour taste in my mouth because he walked everybody and their mother. So bounce back in terms of that. Obviously, he had like a 1.9 ERA for the regular season, but I do not want him. Because the way it translates, obviously, he did poorly in the in the playoffs in crunch time. So I feel like that translates to the ninth inning of every game is crunch time. So he might croak in every ninth inning of every game. He's better for the seventh or eighth. I mean, that's just
yeah, I know.
Seventh inning slot is perfect for him.
That's his seventh, eighth inning. Like that's his perfect. That like you said, exactly. He fits in that role really well. He thrives there, and there's no reason.
I don't think he'll ever be a closer, and I don't think he ever really wants to be because he clearly hates it. He's got seventh inning lockdown.
Britton, he just never has been.
Yeah, people forget that Britton had one of the best years of closers like for the last decade. Like I saw a list, and he was on that decade with – I think he was the number two closer in terms of like single seasons as a closer. He was the number two in the last decade. Andrew Miller was up there. I know Chapman was up there. Kimbrel was up there. He was like a top. He had one of the best seasons we've ever seen out of a closer. We've recently seen.
Do it in like
his 2016 season.
Yeah.
On the Orioles. Yeah.
Yeah, he was fourth in Cy Young voting.
He had an 0.54 through 69 games and 47 saves. An 0.54 ERA is crazy.
That's stupid.
He gave up one home run the whole year.
When was the last time a closer?
That's ridiculous.
He did, and he didn't blow. He did not blow a single save. Also,
he had an that's pretty crazy. Oh what? 0.54
0.54 and didn't blow a single save.
And gave up one home run.
But he had a loss though, which is I don't know what happened there. But anyway, like so I remember that because he had the sinker slider thing that like nobody really knew how to hit it or what it was. And I just remember that pitch because like he was on the Orioles. Like I just knew he was the nasty guy in the Orioles that threw that one pitch that nobody could hit.
Yeah.
And you know, since then, like, but he really hasn't dialed it back that much. Like 2 years ago
when he was on too.
Right. And but before the year before he came to the Yankees, I forget who he was playing for, but he didn't play that. Like when we got him, I wasn't as excited to get him as I would have been if it was right off his 2016 season. But that doesn't mean he still doesn't have it. Like he had a sub 2 ERA last year. Like he can.
But again, he's the guy that steps up because he's been there before for sure. Like everyone else is just not going to be able to do that. I mean, like Chad Green's that middle relief guy, long relief guy. You know, I wouldn't want him in ninth either. Dude, fourth in Cy Young, and that's crazy.
That's crazy.
MVP. He was 11th in MVP.
Yeah. You know
I don't know if closers ever won MVP.
That's crazy. No, he's been fucking goddamn close.
You know the only two people to win Cy Young as a reliever or closer.
No
Dennis Eckersley and Eric Gagne.
Yeah.
Not even.
If I had to take five guesses. Eckersley probably would have been my first guess. Gagne would have been down a little bit, but
I think that makes sense. 2003, Gagne won in 19, what was it, 20 something, not 20, 19 whatever. Oh. Dennis.
that's pretty cool. But anyway, like I just think Britton also, if Ottavino is the eighth, and if Ottavino and Canley throw 7-8, I feel like that takes a little bit of pressure off Britton. I feel like if you're throwing in a bullpen where maybe it doesn't matter, but like if you're throwing in a bullpen where nobody else is really that good, like you did on the Orioles when you're the closer, I feel like a lot more weight falls on your shoulders. Yeah. Whereas when you have Canley and Ottavino in front of you, say there's a 3-run lead going into the seventh, pretty confidently they're not going to give up those other two runs and force you to have a 1-run save or something like that. So I feel like, and it also might give him confidence when if he throws, say he has like 4 saves and he doesn't blow one. And he has like a sub 2 ERA through those 4 games, then he goes back to the normal bullpen with confidence. I think that could be a good thing too.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a crazy stat for you.
Talk to me,
Goose. So in Zach Britton's 9-year career, he has given up a total of 37 home runs in 9 years. Okay? So in 3 years, Josh Hader, fantastic arm, has given up 28 home runs in 3 years.
Yeah, but that's his bugaboo with Hader. Like that's like kind of a known thing. Like Britton's
his home run per 9 is not great.
Britton walks.
I just think that's kind of crazy. 3 years though. I know it's his bugaboo, but I think
that's a cool example because when you ask the average fan, what do you think of Josh Hader? Fantastic closer, right? Oh my god,
well, he is one of the best closers.
No, but I'm saying like the name itself just automatically thinks like, oh yeah, like this stat is gonna be real. And then when you think of Zach Britton, you're like, yeah, okay, Zach Britton. Like I'm just talking about like first interpretations of people, and you see like a stat like that, and like Britton's previous stats, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's just Britton's wild. Just to the kind of guy. 9 years.
Britton's just like the kind of guy. He'll walk a few guys here and there. But I guess when he was in like 2016, 2017, like his really, really good years, he had like the strikeout pitch going that nobody could touch. But people have caught up to that and he's realized it. So now the way he throws, he still walks a lot of guys, but he doesn't give up a ton of hits and he really doesn't give up home runs, like you said, which is kind of a good recipe for success. Like it's really hard to produce runs off him because he does not give up a lot of hits.
You know what they were talking about with Britton? Whenever Britton comes in, they bring in the Britton – like shift, so they'll bring in a fifth infielder.
Wild. I did not know that.
I heard that. I think Boone was talking about that.
Pitcher. That makes a lot of sense.
I don't know how often they'll actually use this, but they would just bring in a fifth infielder because he's such a ground ball pitcher. And honestly, if you were going to do that, which infielder would you bring in? I feel like that's got to be Wade. That's another one of Wade's like random responsibilities on this team. Like, he's the pinch runner in the extra innings. He's the fifth infielder when Britton comes in. He's just, because you have to have, if you're bringing a fifth infielder, it's just for when he's in. So if he gets pulled, you got to sub somebody else out. So it's kind of got to be an outfielder infield.
Right. So yeah, that's why Wade, if they were to sub to do that, which I kind of doubt they would, but maybe if that Wade's like kind of the only option there, because he can play both. He's like the only one.
Just imagine having like Judge or Stanton or throw on a glove and play the infield. That would just look so weird. You think they could do it?
Like, I feel like whichever one of them
put a body up in front and just like,
like, yeah, where would they play in the infield? It. Like, I feel like they'd have to play
like over center, like maybe
first, maybe, I don't know, or like a rover kind of thing. I don't know.
Like, no, maybe,
but like, no, I like, wouldn't want them over center. I don't know if I'd want them in the middle. No, like, you'd want like probably your third baseman, your second baseman, your shortstop as the three middle infielders.
But that's the perfect usage for Tyler Wade right there.
Right,
exactly. Coming in like that. That's literally his role right there. Coming in, playing the infield position, getting out, maybe a tie game up. Hopefully not. Cool. He goes back into the outfield. Like, he's still playing.
So if Britton's closing in the ninth, you make that sub for Wade and have Wade come in to field the ninth, and then maybe whoever you sub him for was the last out in case you go to extras. So then he's also.
I've never been like a huge shift. I've never been a huge shift guy, but I do like this. What do you guys think about it? Would you actually like to see this happen?
Not really.
No.
I feel like it's too unconventional. Like, it's fun it's to like.
Too unconventional.
I'd be horrified because, God forbid, somebody bloops it. Like, wherever you position the outfield, there's like somebody bloops one over the third baseman's head, and you have Stanton in left field who's not incredibly fast, and he's playing left center. Like, it's going to take him a while to get to that ball. So especially if there's a guy at base, like, you're screwed.
Like, any fast line drive ground ball hit is going to go through the gap and be like a double or triple. If it's, especially if it's like center field. I'm envisioning they're going to be like left center, right center, line drive up the middle. It's a fucking triple.
Yeah, I don't know. I do kind of like it, though, because I would like to see his, like, ground ball. I mean, it's got to be kind of ridiculous, the ground ball percentage. I know it is ridiculous, but to even, like, think about doing that.
Let's see if I can find it.
But that's so much more pressure on Britton to throw those low pitches to get a ground ball. If he hangs one, it's over.
Yeah, that's true, too. Maybe that completely changes the way he goes about pitching.
Like, he's and now you're – now as a batter, you're expecting all these ground, low pitches. Yeah. Like, there's, like – it's completely different chess match now. It's wild.
Yeah, it is.
Like it gives. I think it gives the batter more advantage now. Hit a hard ball anywhere. It's going to be at least a double.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't like to see it. Like, I'm curious what like the it really super advanced like analytic stats are on it, because when you have the shift, there's so much research that goes into it. So I'm curious what the statistical advantage is if you have the five people in the infield for a ground ball pitcher like Britton. But I can't imagine it's worth the risk.
Yeah.
Unless you're up a couple of runs and you have some like room to play around with, maybe to test it out. But in like this short of a season, it's like not the time to test anything out. Stick to what works, please.
Also true.
Another thing I did notice in the inter-squad games is first inning Paxton is still alive and well. If you remember, we would always just bet first runs in the first inning whenever Paxton's in, and then he would be Buckles. So I wouldn't even feel bad doing that. He would be Buckles for every inning past the first inning, but it is a guarantee that he gives up a home run in the first inning.
Yeah, it was like it was just normal. Like there'd be two outs, we'd be like, oh, like maybe he'll get out of this one, and then like, oh no, there it goes. And then he'd shut down the rest of the game. And then he'd go, you know, seven and a half innings or seven.
Yeah, which was fine. It was fine for us because we have such a good offense. So, like, we can afford it. And especially if he just shuts the door after. But, like, it's just so ridiculous that he's just that kind of person. Like, he will always do that.
Listen, if you allow one or two runs a game, it doesn't matter what inning it comes in.
Yeah, I'm all good for it. I mean, but that's the thing. Like, I don't know how he shuts the door like that. He just has to get the kinks out real quick and then.
I don't know.
All right, you guys want to get into the betting?
Yeah, let's get into it.
What were you going to say about Hap?
I was going to say Hap does the same thing, but he doesn't necessarily close the door.
Yeah.
All right, so the betting corner here. We've got some prop bets for the season. Cy Young, MVP, most home runs, that sort of thing. So I guess the way we could do it is I can give you some odds that might be a little surprising or something like that, and then we can go through some of the odds for some of the guys on the Yankees and just see kind of where they stand and whether or not you take the bet, basically. So we're going to start off with most regular season home runs. Judge is at plus 1950, so basically plus 2,000. Interesting.
I mean, that's a value pick. It's a value pick that you didn't think would be a value pick. Like, I would say pick Judge because, like, we're Yankee fans and I like Judge and his home runs. And I was for these segments, I was kind of going to look towards, like, the people who aren't Yankees, like just random other people who I might think. But, like, if you're getting those numbers with Aaron Judge, I mean, you got to take it. I mean, they're definitely considering him, like, counting him to get hurt, which is probably why that number's lower. But
you just got to bank on him getting hot for a little while. That's what I was saying before that we were talking just before we started recording. I think that, like, Sanchez is a big value pick there because he's
plus 4,500.
He can go off in a month or a couple weeks, hit 20 bombs, and is now the home run leader.
Wait, so, all right. So whoever does win most home runs, how many, like, what's the number? I don't even know. What number is going to get you?
Lot.
Like 25, 20 is a lot of home runs.
That's a lot of fucking home runs.
I don't even know what to look for.
What's
like
the
in
most
a normal season, you're like, all right, if you hit 50, I don't know, probably honestly.
Think about it, like 30 home runs is crazy. One home run every other game, which is not going to happen.
No.
Like, I think like 20 is still a lot. 15 is probably going to be good. Great. I don't know. That's why I'm saying, like, you could have someone go off, hit two home runs in a game, hit a couple home runs a week. That is really going to be interesting, like, change the entire odds.
I feel like 20 home runs is, like, the new 50, like, as a benchmark. Like, somebody hits 50 home runs, you're like, all right, they're definitely at least top three in the league, most likely. So, like, I feel like 20, like, just out of the blue, like, I feel like if you hit 20, that, for me, is the equivalent of hitting 50. I don't know if the math makes sense there, but that's just, like.
What did Pete Alonso was the leader last year?
Yeah, he had 53.
53? All right, so yeah,
he's also the favorite this year. But also,
I don't know if the math is there, but I just crunched some numbers.
It's about right.
50 home runs is equivalent to just over 15 in 60 games.
Yeah, I got that too.
Shit. All right,
it's about a home run every like three.
Is that true? Let me crunch the numbers again. So I did 50 divided by 162. That's the rate, and that times 60, it's 18.5 is a 50 home run season.
Yeah, I think 20 is gonna be a lot. Like 20 might be like.
But that's the thing too. Like it you may seem like if you're over 18 and a half, that's on pace for a 50 home run season. But it's like somebody could just get hot. Like I mean,
we saw this in 2016.
You saw Long Gone Summer. They just got hot in the summer. Like they just started fucking hitting two home runs a game.
In 2016, when Gary came up in the second half of the year, he played 53 games and he hit 20. And he was like piping hot. And we were like, oh, wow, Gary Sanchez is the absolute man. And
so what are his odds to win the home run title? He might be a very good pick.
Plus 4,500.
4,500?
Amazing pick.
Well, for anybody, especially in the 16 season, like it's really hard to pick who has the most home runs in a season. Like the odds are always high. Like the favorite is Pete Alonso at 850, which is a horrible bet.
I haven't bet in a long time. What's that? Like, is that 10
I might
to
get
win
back 40? Into betting.
It's 100 to win 850, 10 to win 85.
Oh, hell yeah. Put me down for that.
For Alonso?
No, for Sanchez.
For Sanchez. Yeah, you're getting $450 on a $10 bet.
Dude, I'm gonna pick fucking like 10 people, throw $10 on each of them.
You gotta look for the value picks, like we were talking before. But Framil Reyes at plus 8,000.
No, he was like 2,200. He wasn't that high.
I'm looking at him right now. I mean, this is on Action Network, but he's plus 8,000 here.
Let me see. He's plus 2,200 on mine, so I don't know.
I need to find this book and bet on here.
But I don't know. So out of the Yankees, Stanton had the, like, I guess, highest odds, like the most.
I don't think it's going to be a big game. I think you got to go for the value lower guys who are going to come out and just, like, start hitting bombs. I don't think it's going to be one of these, like,
I lost Stanton, but Glaber's 2,500, Stanton's 1,200. So, like, you know.
Glaber's in front of
cool. Well, no, What if it's like Keston Hura? Like Keston Hura just comes out. I mean, the crazy thing is, it could be.
On a $15 bet, if you like, yeah, that's the thing. Like, it could be anybody. Like,
Chris Davis comes out and just hits again. Like, regular.
So, like, if you look at like AL or NL players of the month, like any given year, like whoever wins it, usually if they go on based off a power bet, they're gonna have like 13, 15 home runs in a month. Which is crazy, but if you keep that up for 2 months, then boom, you're at 30.
Like that's
it could happen.
So let's lock in each. So I'm gonna get a Yankees pick and then another pick. So for me, I'm gonna go. I'm also gonna go Gary because what were his odds?
4,500.
That's absolutely good value, and he's a streaky guy who can get as hot as a pistol. So I'm gonna go him. Then if I had to pick a non-Yankee, I'd probably go. I'm gonna go the value route. What is Jorge Soler listed on your book for?
I got to scroll.
He's at plus 3,300 here.
2,500 on mine.
I could see Jorge Soler doing it, but if it's 2,500, I'm not liking that so much. I might go. People are gonna hate me for this, but I might go Devers.
It's not a bad pick.
No, that's not a bad pick.
He's at plus 8,000 here. Is he around plus 8,000 there?
I don't think anyone on my book is even close to that except for Hunter Renfro.
Your book's ridiculous.
Devers is 6,500.
I'll take Devers as my non-Yankee. I'm not rooting for that to happen any game he plays the Yankees, but I think the kid's good and he can rake.
I'm going Judge. I think if he's healthy, like just for the sake, I think – honestly, dollar for dollar, Gary Sanchez is probably the best pick, but we need to pick somebody else. So I'm going to take Judge, and I'm also going to take Belly. He's only – I could very easily see him hitting, like, 20-25.
Yeah, Bellinger's ridiculous. What were his odds?
Plus 1450.
Yeah. I'm going Sanchez for sure. And then outside Yankees, I'm going to go for my boy Acuna. I think he's going to fucking go off this year.
Acuna. What are Acuna's odds?
Plus 1,900.
I went with super value.
Yep. Problem with super value is you don't win.
What? 60 games. That's the thing. For super value is a crapshoot. Hey, I feel like super value. Moving on. Yeah.
Moving on.
Talk forever about these.
Let's go like one or two more in.
There's regular season hits, which LeMahieu's plus 1,000. That's just, I don't know. We don't need to spend too much time on that one. It's kind of boring. But that's his. So AL Cy Young, Gerrit Cole's the favorite at plus 225. Yeah. Don't think that's a super good value pick.
No.
But that's his odds. Surprising a little bit, the fourth favorite is Blake Snell. So in order.
That is a little surprising.
It's Cole, then Verlander, then Mike Clevinger, third, then Blake Snell. Oh, wait, never mind. This is out of order. This is out of order. I'm sorry. I thought it was going in order. It's not. But still, though, no, all right, it's basically in order. So, yeah, those are the top three, actually. Shane Bieber is third, then Clevinger, then Snell.
I mean, you got to go Gerrit Cole. I don't care. Give me Gerrit Cole. He's just a gamer. He loves striking people out. Even in a inter-squad game that everybody else is fucking around, and he's in the interview at the end of the game. He was like, unfortunately, we didn't win. Like, he cares about everything. And like, there was a fly out to left field and he was pissed. He was like, he gets angry when he doesn't strike people out. It bothers him. He has that Scherzer effect. Like, you're fucking mine, bitch. Like, he gets in your mind and that's it. Like, he's going to strike you out. And that's how it's already decided.
Tough to win a Cy Young Yankee Stadium, though.
Yeah.
Hitters.
You know, really cool. Not like I was not AL, not related to this, but It'd be cool if Bauer won Cy Young in the NL.
We'll get there. I don't know what his odds are. He's there. Face,
but
that'd be really, that would be cool.
Bauer's an anomaly to me.
Yeah, that would be
I think value pick-wise, Lucas Giolito plus 1250.
Yeah, I like that.
That'd be kind of cool. I really like like and hate at the same time. I really think Tyler Glasnow is a very good pitcher. I don't know if he's going to win Cy Young.
But you also got to think about, like, the divisions and who they're playing and the teams. Like, that's a huge
Which is why I'm going to take Mike Clevinger as my non-Yankee, because he's playing in the Central, who and that division is dog shit, both of them.
Yeah,
kind of. But, like, think about it. Like, the White Sox, the Twins, and the Indians can all hit.
True.
Like, those are three really good teams. It's kind of – it's really – they're not any worse than the AL East. I don't know. The Rays and the Yankees are probably better than – I think the Twins are the best team in that division. I think the Rays and the Yankees are a little bit better than the Twins, but I think that the White Sox and the Indians are better than the other three teams in the AL East, including the Red Sox. I just think
Clevinger's good, too.
No, he is. I'm just saying, division-wise. Also, Charlie Morton, Glasnow, and Blake Snell are all – really high up there, which is kind
that's of crazy that all three of them are that close. That's almost like Bellinger and Betts.
Is it Ryu up there too? Top 30 at least.
Fuck Ryu.
Yeah, he's in the top 30 somewhere.
Ryu doesn't.
Oh yeah,
do
he's plus 3,000. He's up there.
I don't even think
Ryu's
good.
The Twins also have a lot of pitchers up there, but anyway, moving on.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Cole and Clev. Give me those two.
AL MVP. Mike Trout is even.
So stupid.
Are you shocked, though?
That's the worst bet anyone could ever take.
But, like, you're probably going to win it.
Judge is the next highest. At least on my book. Yeah, Judge is plus 750, which I also don't think is a great bet. I'd rather take him for home run leader.
Dude, your book is, like...
I don't know. I'm just looking at the odds.
No, I know. I get it. I get it. But, like, in terms of what I would bet on. They're just screwing me. Aaron Judge is plus 1,200. We'll stick with your lines though. But if I mean,
I don't know. I didn't
make
the odds.
Let's pick.
I don't like. I think these odds are horrible. Like Lindor is the third highest at 950. I don't know. This is kind of turning into bad radio. But
so let's pick.
Yeah, really.
Let's make our picks based on the fact that. If Mike Trout wasn't playing baseball, because obviously he would win, so that's no fun.
Well, I don't think Judge. I don't know for the AL.
Lindor, lock it in.
I think Lindor is really good looking for that. Glaber is plus 1750. I think he's like, if he has that like just a certain huge wild breakout year, like I could see him getting an MVP.
Yeah, I'm gonna take,
but.
I would take him. I'm going to take Judge. I think Judge finally puts it together in 60 games. He's got to stay healthy for just 60. We see the defensive run save numbers. We see all those crazy stats that he accumulates in low amounts of games every year. I think
Garrett Cole is plus 3,000.
He could do it too. This season is more likely for a pitcher to win MVP or less likely?
Yes, more likely for sure, I think.
Which is why an interesting thing about that whole thing is that you got to put some stock in Shohei Ohtani, because in 60 games, his net impact, I'm not huge on Shohei Ohtani, but he can definitely hit and he's a pretty good pitcher too. So in terms of overall impact across games in 60 games, he's going to do it pitching. He's going to do it hitting too. Most valuable player. If you're going to think about it like that, he seems like he's got a very good shot
to be the most valuable
player.
He'd have to have a sub 3 ERA, hit 300, and have like 10 or 12 home runs, I think. Which is, you know, pretty doable, I guess. But
I think
that is interesting.
He might be my pick.
Because like he could win MVP without winning Cy Young, which I feel like if a pitcher wins MVP, it's a guarantee that you're winning Cy Young.
I don't think I would take him to win Cy Young at all. Like if it would just stand alone, Cy Young, no. But in terms of just MVP, because he's also giving you that extra, I'm going to pitch for you too. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, that's why he beat Andujar out for Rookie of the Year a couple years ago.
Which is bullshit, but
it is.
In 60 games, I think that helps him a lot. That's going to be my pick.
So that's the thing. I think maybe for him, that's something. But I think for most pitchers, just because you're having exponentially less starts, I mean, you're starting every fifth game. Quick math, it's what, 12 starts? Like, that's not a ton. I mean, I know everybody's sample size has shrunk, but I feel like for pitchers through 12 games, that's kind of tough.
Yeah.
But that's just me. So NL MVP, at least on my book, Mookie Betts is the favorite, followed by Yelich, and then Acuna, and then Belly.
I'm picking Acuna because he's my guy, but value pick. I don't know what his odds are, but I'm just having a good feeling for Baez.
He's plus 2,000.
I'm a big fan of him. I just want him to come out.
Give me Trevor Story.
Really?
Not a bad pick.
Give me Trevor Story. Great fielder. He's one of those guys who obviously you saw when he came up, but he's one of those guys who can get hot. And he will, if he gets hot, he came out guns blazing when he came into the league. I think he had like 7 home runs. He had that like Scooter Jeanette type.
He could low key win the home run title too.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be Tulo. And like he's not quite.
He's different, but like top shortstops.
Like basically when he came up, I was like, oh, this is literally Tulowitzki again. But yeah. It kind of isn't.
What are his odds?
I think I'd just like to see, I don't know, I said him a little while ago. 3,500. But I'd like to see Juan Soto. I think that'd just be the coolest one because he's just like, you know, super young gun guy, and he tweaked last year and everybody loved him. And I think if he won an MVP this year, it'd be like just a good storyline. Be really cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
All right. NL Cy Young. Basically, DeGrom versus Scherzer versus Bueller versus Flaherty versus Strasburg. All right, that's more names than I.
Give me Flaherty. Give me Flaherty. Just like overall, I like Flaherty too. I'm not like not
even value pick Flaherty for sure.
Not even value pick.
He's only plus 800. It's not that good. It's not much of a value pick. I think the value pick there is Trevor Bauer was 1350. That ain't bad. Mike Soroka plus 2200. I think in a couple years he's going to be a top tier pitcher. I could see if this were to be his breakout year, I could see him doing it. I'm with you on Flaherty. Like,
I mean, dude, he had a point like 5 ERA, or he had a sub 1 ERA for the second half, like after the All Star break last year. This is like the mindset you have to have for making these picks across the board. You got to get the guys who just get hot.
But you don't know who's going to get hot. Just because somebody's gotten hot before doesn't mean they're going to get hot in this 60. That's the thing.
Yeah, but you could get that vibe of people who are streaky players. So,
sure.
Small sample size, but he did get hot at the end of last year. So, hopefully he does that again. I can win some money. I actually might like put these bets down. I like these a lot.
Yeah, I think I am too.
I feel like it's a horrible, horrible decision to take a favorite in a 60-game season.
Yeah, why would you?
It's so easy.
If there's ever somebody to come out of nowhere and steal an MVP or steal a Cy Young or accidentally hit 28 home runs and get the home run title, like, this is the year.
That's exactly what's going to happen. It's such a fucking toss-up, and that's why I just, like, value.
The fun thing, like, too
– Hicks could come out of nowhere and hit 24.
Like, literally. The fun thing, too, about this is the annoying thing about – props and futures are usually like, oh, you place the bet, you have to wait 6 months to see the return, and like, oh, well, whoopee, you made like $10 or whatever. I don't know, but this is like a short term investment. Like, you can put your money down on anybody, and you see the money back in like 3 months. So, like, I might actually do it. I just got the unemployment check. I might put it all down. Turn my weekly unemployment check into a kajillion dollars.
Might as well just light it on fire and throw it out the window.
Yeah, that too. So I want to do
if one of our picks, like, if I don't know if I'm going to take these, we'll see. But like, if one of my picks that I don't take happens, I'll be really upset. But
market, it's been picked on the air. Last thing I wanted to do was the over under Yankees wins. It's set at 37.5. What do you guys think? I mean, the fan in me, I'm never going to take the under, but
yeah,
I'm just thinking out loud, like, it's probably going to be around that. So it's obviously a good line, but I'm going to say over because I don't want to be an asshole, but I really think under.
I'm really going with the under just because I don't think people realize how fucking hard it's going to be to win a lot of games this season, especially with our schedule. Like, you just don't understand the schedule and the amount.
Fuck it,
of,
over.
Like,
no, I'm fired up. Over. You sound like an asshole. I just listened to you, and I was like, no, I don't want to be that guy.
All right, fuck it. I'm taking the under.
I think it's set at the perfect line. Yeah. Like, if it was set at 37 and I could bet over or under or at 37, I would probably bet at 37. Yeah, or 36, push, whatever yeah. it would set. But yeah. I do see kind of where Damon's at. Because think about, for most teams, in the playoffs, by winning percentage, you're not winning at the same clip that you're winning in the regular season. I know it's harder competition, but those games mean more. So there's more invested in those games. So it's harder to string together 5, 6, 7 wins when every single game has
playoff implications
sort of. Like, it's, yeah, there's no dog days where you can sneaky win 12 in a row and get your percentage up like that. I think a lot of teams are probably going to end up going under what their win total set at. I think it's going to be the worst team in the division might only be 9 games, 8 games behind the division winner. So, like,
yep.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny to see, too, because, like, if a team gets hot, like, remember last year when the Mariners got fucking smoking hot out of the gate and they had the number one record and they were, like, 16-2 out of the gate. Like, at what point do you come out of the gate hot like that? And then you're like, we could do this thing. Like, what if we just win, like, 15 more games, we could win, we could make the playoffs, you know?
And if teams like that go on a 14-game win streak, no matter who it is. Like, teams that don't make the playoffs go on win streaks that maybe are 11 games sometimes, 12 games, like the Mariners. And if you string that together in this season, like, you could make the playoffs just because of that.
Yeah, literally. Or you go on that early hot streak, then it just becomes like, okay, now we're invested in this. We haven't been kicked like and put down yet. Like, that's a big thing. Like, you, over the course of 162 as a bad team, you can win games. You can come out and win games. Like, the Orioles can win some games too, even though they're horrible. But eventually they get beaten down by the other teams just because of the depth of the team. And that's how it works. So, like, if you haven't crushed a team yet, like, you haven't just broken their spirits, they still think they can win. And thinking you could win is a big deal. Thinking you could win is almost everything. Like, they could, like, if you, like I said, if you win 10 games, come out so hot, like, a confident team can just, that's everything. You play with the hot hand. I'm just saying, it could actually happen.
Yeah. And you look at a team like middle of the pack, like, say the White Sox, the team that I keep thinking of, that, like, they're just kind of on that cusp where they're probably theoretically third in the AL Central, but they catch 12-game win streak, they could easily win the division where otherwise they probably wouldn't have.
They're like
a borderline wild card team. Yeah. And then there's other teams that probably wouldn't make the playoffs that could string some together. And then, oh, all of a sudden, you know, Kansas City's in the wild card because they all of a sudden won 13 games in a row out of nowhere. Like, you never know.
That level of team, like that, like the White Sox, like that specific team I think about, like, that is the team that benefits from this. Like, they could win the World Series because of this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have a lot of power. I'm not going to get into the White Sox, but, like, I'm just saying that type of team can spin it for 60 games. They can get it going.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
One final note. I just thought about another over-under. Over-under batting 247 for Chris Davis this year.
Good line.
Exactly, Ethan.
Push.
Because that was what his goal was. He was like, someone asked him, what's your goal for 2020? It's like, hit 247.
Did he say hit 247 or hit above 247?
Oh, he said hit 247.
Hey, but if he's hitting 250 with 3 games left, like, he's probably doing the math. Like, all right, I'm going to get one more hit, and then I'm just not going to hit anymore. And then, boom, 247.
I'm looking up. What's his career batting average? I'm curious.
I think it's like 4 consecutive years he's hit it, right?
His career batting average is 244, which is nuts.
What's the highest he's ever hit?
So, bro, look at this. I'll read them all out. 2013 as a rookie, 279. Then he hit 244. Then it starts. Then in 2015, he hits 247. Then 247. Then 247. Then 247. And then last year he hit 220, which is why now he's saying I'm going to hit 247 again.
I didn't realize that he didn't do it last year. Okay.
Yeah, that's why he's saying that. That's
still wild. I thought it was like an active streak still for some reason, but
low-key, look at him for the MVP and home run derby champ. Because I mean,
he came out hot, too.
In those 2 years, in 2017 and 18, he was 22nd in MVP and 8th in MVP.
Dude, anyone could win anything. Like, anyone could literally win any fucking award.
The Orioles could win the World Series.
And it doesn't count.
The awards don't count. I am counting the World Series, though.
No, they all count.
They don't count.
The awards?
It counts. It counts.
They do not count.
Dude, if I'm a career, like if I've been in the league for 4 years and I'm a career, you know, 265 hitter and I all of a sudden go off and get an MVP, it counts. So like you're telling me if I don't know, say Gio Urshela goes off, hits 20 home runs, bats 325, wins MVP. You're not going to say it counts. I say it counts.
I'm saying he won MVP, but I'm not going to say it carries the same weight as a full season MVP. No, there's no way.
Yeah, I don't count.
It doesn't count as much. Like the World Series, like you can make an argument for it counting a little bit the same because of the playoffs and all that kind of stuff. But like the longevity of the season is really what creates a Cy Young Award winner and MVP Award winner.
So, Murph, just another thing on top of that. You're going to tell me, because I personally wouldn't count it. I'm a Yankees fan, specifically if Gio Urshela wins, for example. So I wouldn't count it. You're going to tell me if I don't think it's going to count for Gio Urshela. What would you think about all the Yankee haters out there, which is everybody who isn't a Yankees fan? They wouldn't even think twice. Like, they wouldn't say
it counts. Oh, yeah. No, I'm sorry. I know they wouldn't say it counts, but, like, he gets an MVP. Good for him. Like, I don't care. I'm not passionate. Like, you know,
if it's Gio, he can have it.
You're an idiot. Like, anybody. Like, I don't really care. I'm not, like, this stickler that's going to say, oh, it doesn't count. It wasn't a full
season. I'm just happy we're getting baseball.
We're getting baseball. Somebody's getting named MVP. Whoever it is, good for them. It's an MVP. For the season, they were the best player of that season. Fine. Doesn't matter how short the season is. Same with the World Series. Like, whatever. Bye.
See you guys later, man. Let's go.
Not so much to ask, and she'll never flaunt around an empty purse. Once my mind will lock in just to stay a couple nights, and decide that she will stay the rest of her life. I watch my little children, they sit bumping in the kitchen, and I see them pray they never feel my strife. Were gone. He made some bad investments. Now the counts are overdrawn. I took a walk. Tonight I swear to